Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to ThinkBigRadio.com, where big thinkers come to teach and learn. Your goals are our goals, and your success makes us successful.
Big Day ThinkBigRadio.com listeners, Big here, your host. I have a special guest on here, Veronica Blakely, Passion, Power, and Purpose. She's an author, consultant, and depression buster. Veronica, you there?
I'm here.
Great, great. Before we get started, we want to make sure that our listeners are able to contact you. So all the contact information you got, let them have it.
Okay, I'll make it real simple for you. VeronicaBlakely.biz, VeronicaBlakely.biz, B-I-Z. You can go to that website to find out anything about me. Click on any of the links for my books. And if you want to contact me, click on the contact link and send me information on the from the contact page.
All right, great, great. So before we really get started in this interview, I just want people to get a feel for who you are. So why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself, you know, where you're from, small family, big family, you know, the regular things that'll, you know, kind of get our listeners to, you know, get a good feel for you.
Okay. Well, I'm Veronica Blakely from Tampa, Florida, native Floridian. I am from a reasonable-sized family. It was a 6 siblings. And I was the first generation to attend college in my family. I went on to work in corporate America as a corporate manager. I left the corporate setting to take care of a sick family member. And then I went back to get back into the work environment. Wound up teaching in the public school system for about 3 years. Obtained my master's degree and my EDS degree, my education specialist degree, which means I'm 4 classes away from a PhD. But I stopped because I ran out of financial aid. However, I hopefully will one day get an opportunity to finish. Currently, I am a college instructor at a community college teaching business, general ed, as well as communication skills training classes. And also, I'm an entrepreneur, and I assist entrepreneurs with their communication and presentation skills, and I'm also an urban communication skills specialist, which means I assist African Americans with dialect issues, learn how to speak standard American English.
Okay, I think a lot of us need some help on that, me included. So, just to let our listeners know, I came across your page of your website many, many months ago, and what struck me was that you had some acronyms, and they were, you know, they were excellent. And I was thinking to myself, who is this woman who has my name with 2 extra letters doing, you know, my thing, which is acronyms? And so I kind of looked through it, and then a little while later, I found you again for the wonderful things that you were doing, you know, and not only that, but you had a book. And so, I saw the title of the book, and, I reached out to you because now not only were you doing these things, you also found time to become an author. And so I want to talk about a little bit tonight about, you know, not only what you really do for the most part, but about your book. Can you let our listeners know the book name and actually why you wrote the book?
Okay. I'm the published author of 6 books, but the one we're going to talk about tonight is called Depression is a Thief. Mm-hmm. And the thief is an acronym for time, health, intimacy, energy, and fun, because those are the things that depression stole from me. When I was going through just a lot of things in life, and in reference to several of my family members dying, pretty much four of my siblings, and two of them within 4 months of each other, dealing with a lot of family turmoil and as well as life issues in general. I just couldn't figure out why I couldn't get things back together again. It was I had lost my groove, if you would say. And then one day I was just sitting back and I started thinking about myself that, well, I think I'm depressed. And when I thought about it and all the things that I used to do, how I used to travel, how I used to have friends and go out to parties and just do a lot of things within the community, and I said, you know, all of that had been stolen from me. And that's how the title came to me, saying depression is a thief.
You said something. You said something that made me stop for a moment. You said, I think I might be depressed. Tell me a little bit about how did that actually, that thought come to mind? And had you seen something on TV? Had you been doing a little bit of reading? And, you know, of course, you were losing your energy and you didn't want to do a lot of things. Mm-hmm. How did it feel for you to kind of come to that realization first and then, you know, get out of it?
Well, for me, since I am a person who's a communicator, I have a BA degree in speech communication, and I was always able to communicate about anything at a drop of a hat. When I could not put two words together to make a sentence, I knew something was wrong. And even though I did not recognize it right away, I just still couldn't put my finger on it. When I, funny, when I went to my annual visit with my gynecologist, he recognized that something was wrong because I started gaining weight. I was always the perfect size 6 for all of my adult life, and I couldn't explain why. And then he started doing some other things and asking me a lot of questions, and he realized that I was depressed. And he recommended that I go to a psychologist so that I could talk things through, and sure enough, I really was depressed.
Wow. And, you know, and it's funny when you say that. It wasn't just a regular doctor and you know something was wrong, but he also, you know, someone who's around you a lot or she knows that something was just not right, and then they were able to, you know, help you discover that. It makes me wonder because just like a lot of people who, you know, have recently passed away from, you know, depression, you know, different, methods of, you know, how they passed away. Some of them seem and appear to just be like right on top of things, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So do you think that we talk about depression enough? Is that something that should be just a regular curriculum for everyone?
Well, actually, no, it is not something we talk about enough. In fact, there are so many different phases and forms of it. It shows up differently in different people, because what I, you know, realized and recognized, and I knew ahead of time, was that I had some mental illness issues within my family. And
ooh,
I just never had really connected those issues to myself, because I was, quote unquote, still functioning. But what I didn't realize is that I was forcing myself to function, because that was just what I always did. And unfortunately, within the African-American community, many of us do that because that's what is expected of us, and especially for Black women, because we have to press through, move ahead, do the things we're going to do, and just handle things. And so in the process of doing that, that's how I missed the fact that I was depressed. Because when I saw and thought about the other family members who had these mental challenges, I said, oh, well, that's not me, so that can't be what's happening to me. But that's where the mistake is made. We try to put a label on it based on how we see someone else dealing with schizophrenia, or how someone else might be dealing with psychosis, or having to be put in a mental hospital. And so we feel that if we don't check any of those boxes, well, then that must not be me. Well, not necessarily so, because I'm here to tell you, I was one of those people who it just, I say kind of snuck up on me, but it didn't sneak up on me when I had time to sit back and think about it. It was a progression. And as it kept happening, other things kept happening in my life where I wasn't able to really handle things. I could really see how I was deteriorating. And it was only when I was not able to communicate did it really click to me that something was really wrong.
Now, so with the communication part, would it be like someone may ask you a question and then you're just kind of looking blank, or you're just looking blank but can't find the words, or the words that you say just don't make any sense at all?
The words I was saying did not make any sense.
Wow. Jesus.
Because I would be talking, and at the same time my mind is processing and saying, okay, words are coming out of my mouth, but none of that is really making any sense. Because
wow.
I was always able to be on top of things. Somebody would ask me a question, I have the answer. It's like you can ask me 21 questions and I'm going to give you 25 answers, because I'm already thinking ahead of what you're already thinking that you're going to do. And when I wasn't able to do that, and when I did talk and I did not make any sense, I knew something was wrong.
Wow. Now, were people looking at you and they were just kind of giving you a clue as to what is she talking about?
Yes. But they never said anything.
Oh, boy. I know that's really
Because they also knew me. They also knew that I was an effective communicator. But they didn't know what to say, because that was just not me.
Mm.
Yeah. So it was really strange. And I think it probably would have been caught earlier had someone else said something to me. But because no one else said anything, I had to identify that within myself. It's almost like, you know, a self-diagnosing. And realizing that I knew something was wrong, I just didn't know what it was.
You know, and I think that one of the things that you just that you said that I think a lot of us should do is, you know, learn to self-diagnose, and not to the point where we know what's wrong 100% and we know exactly what to take, but to recognize when we're not at our best and how long it's been since we've even got to the point where we were close to being what our best is.
Right.
So when...
It was really a very strange time for me, because when I sat down and thought back on it, I was able to actually go back several years and pinpoint and start thinking about things that happened and how I wasn't able to handle those situations. And then when the weight gain was also the other thing that was the clue for me, because I was an avid fitness person, always worked out. And then I all of a sudden just stopped working out, and I just couldn't remember when was the last time I went to work out. You know, and I started eating a lot, and I just, you know, because for me, I don't drink, smoke, or do drugs, but food became my comfort. It was what comforted me, especially sweets. And when I started gaining weight, that was the second clue that something was wrong. Because, I had never had a weight problem before. So those two things together, the weight gain and the lack of communication skills, let me know that something was really going wrong with me, and I just did not know what it was.
Well, I'm glad that you, took the time to realize that and then came out even stronger for the things that you do, that you deal with in your business. You know, and when we think about, you know, the different cultural differences on how we see depression, how does our community deal with depression in your words? I'm sorry, the black community, for those who may not know that I'm black.
Well, I would say that we've gotten better about it, but it used to be something that we didn't talk about. One, also, especially with individuals who would go to church, they would say, just pray about it. Well, it's like, you know, okay, I've been a Christian all my life, and it's like, I prayed about it, and this hasn't gone away. And that would be the first thing I would say to people who are what I call holier than thou. No, there are some people who need to go to, I started off with a psychologist who's just a therapist, but I realized that I needed something a little bit more, and I went to a psychiatrist so that I could actually get medication. I needed to have medication because I was getting ready to go out there into the deep end where you couldn't reach me and bring me back. And, I needed to have antidepressants in order to bring me out of it, because I was really getting real loopy. And so I would tell people all the time, no, sweetie, it's not that I don't have faith in God or that I don't pray. It's that sometimes people who are depressed, they really need to do more than just talk to someone. They do need to have medication. It's okay. And so the African-American community sometimes was not very helpful or understanding. And even some still are not, because they still think it's, they don't understand it, and you can't make people understand it. But it is something that people are coming more, becoming more accepting of, because now they see that other people out in the public who are dealing with it, the athletes, movie stars. Joe Biden even had a bout with depression because the death of his wife, you know, from his daughter, I think, from his first marriage. So, there are a lot of people out there who have experienced it, and so therefore other people are now more accepting. However, it is still a little a hard pill for some people to swallow.
Right, and it's definitely hard when you don't even recognize, just like you said, you know, toward the opening, the different levels of depression, because who'd have thought Don Cornelius was a person that was depressed, you know, especially for those of us who know him from Soul Train and know him from when we see him on different shows. And I think there was a female artist who was a singer who was famous. You mentioned her earlier. What was her name?
Phyllis Hyman. Yeah, when she committed suicide, that still hurts me to this day, because she was such a beautiful woman and had such beautiful music. And just to know that she was just so sad. She was just really depressed. So you just never know what a person is going through. They may look good on the outside, but on the inside, you know, they're just torn up. And that was the situation with me. A lot of people didn't know what I was going through, because all they could tell was that I had gained weight. But on my countenance, my face, all of that had not really changed or anything. And so people thought that I was okay, that I was just eating a lot, and which I was, but I was eating a lot because I was depressed.
So could that be, like, what would you think some of the triggers from, you know, going through this and from writing the book that we might want to look for, just to kind of maybe recognize this or have a conversation with someone, like, hey, you okay? How's everything been? You know, is there something that we should kind of pay attention to?
I would say that when your daily routine has changed and you can't pinpoint as to the reason why.
Okay.
Or it would be like, for instance, with me, I would always get up out of bed early, because I never needed an alarm clock to get me up, because I would just wake up, get up to go work out and exercise. So one morning when I started waking up, I couldn't get out of the bed. I felt like I was glued to the bed.
Oh my God.
That's, yeah, the depression was, it had weighed me down that heavy. I felt like I was glued to the bed, that I could not get up. And but still, again, I did not know what was wrong. But when you notice those kind of things happening or changing in your life, and that was from years ago, like I said, when I was able to go back and pinpoint some things that had happened and realize, oh, wow, I was depressed then and didn't know it. But, you know, fast forwarding, you know, years after the doctor diagnosed me, I noticed a lot of things in my daily pattern that had changed. And I just did not make a note of it or make the change at that time. And when I stopped working out, that should have been a clue for me right there, because I was just always too tired to go to the gym.
Wow.
So I would say that when a person's daily pattern changes, that is an indicator that something is wrong, and when you may want to get yourself checked.
All right. Yeah, that sounds like some great advice as far as what to look for in ourselves and what to look for, when we're dealing with other people. Do you think that it's more so to be, looking for people that may have experienced a major loss as well, and it's like those first couple of months or weeks or it really just doesn't matter? What do you think?
It varies. For some people, it can be like the death of a family member, like a friend of mine. When her mother died, I mean, she was a person who had been in the military. She got up and ran 6 miles a day. She was very fit and just doing wonderful in life. And when her mother died, she instantly went into a state of depression. And she had to be hospitalized. I remember that her life just changed drastically. She had to be sent away. She had to be sent away to a hospital. We didn't see her for years. And when she did finally come back around, and I saw her a couple of years ago, and she had the same smile, but she didn't look like the same person. I could tell that she had been, medicated, and she had gained weight, again, because she wasn't, the fitness person she was able to be anymore. But for other people, sometimes it's things that happen over a series of time, and that's what it was with me. It had just been years of things just piling up, and just taking it on and just getting a stiff upper lip and just going ahead and move on.
Okay.
And then after a while, it just said, my body said, okay, I can't take this anymore. we're going to have to do something. But lucky for me, I still did not crash like my friend did.
Right. She
was not able to function anymore. She was not able to take care of herself anymore. She lost her home. She couldn't work. She couldn't do any of those things. But I was still able to actually function. So, so some people, it can be massive and just stop them dead in their tracks where they're not able to function anymore. Or it can be in a situation like myself where I was able to go to the doctor and get things caught before it got to that point where it was that severe. And so I was able to still function on a daily basis, but with the help of medication.
And I'm just sitting here thinking about your story and all of the different things that you were involved in. It was almost as if part of that functioning was that you didn't want to let the different people and the different organizations you were involved in down, even though it was costing you your health.
Right. Yeah. And I was pushing through because that's what I knew to do until I just couldn't do it anymore. So it got to the point where it was a strain to go anywhere. All I had the energy to do was to get up, to go to work, and come back home and get into bed. That was my routine every day.
Wow.
And the only reason I went to work is because I had a mortgage. I needed to, you know,
yeah.
to pay bills and whatever. Because that was the other thing I didn't realize had also been a part of my depressive state, because years before I was divorced. And while
okay.
I was married, I had a miscarriage. So you know, all of those things, you know, going through the divorce, you know, giving my ex-husband a house, I went and bought myself another house, you know. And in other words, like I said, I just,
yeah.
you know, life just kept right on going on. But those are things that kept piling on, you know. And after a while, you know, that just, you know, yeah, it just kind of, you know, catches up with you. But in all, I'm grateful because I feel able to actually function, where some people just were not. Like my friend, she just, it's almost as if her life just flatlined. She was not able to do anything after that. She literally had to be taken care of.
When just thinking about this story, and I just want you to get your website out and your contact information again, because people really need to see how much you still had to manage, and how, you know, successful your business is, to know that you were still hurting.
Oh gosh, yeah.
Let's make sure that we get out your contact information for our listeners.
Okay, I'm going to give out the website, and I'm also going to give out the website for the blog for my depression website. My website is veronicablakely.biz, veronicablakely.biz, B-I-Z. The blog post for the book Depression is a Thief, you can find that at depressionisathief.wordpress.com.
Okay.
depressionisathief.wordpress.com. And I have a lot of information there in reference to facts and statistics. I also have videos of individuals who are talking about depression, some football players and some other people who are known within the military. And about health issues that you might have in reference to your issues with depression, and just some videos and blog items that are there, as well as contact information for individuals who feel that they may need to get in touch with the health line for depression. And that's one thing I always say to people, you know, don't be afraid to contact somebody, because you just never know. I mean, even if it's not you, it could be a family member. You may have to call on behalf of a family member just to get them the help that they need as well.
Okay. Yeah. You know, I know that this was one of the things that had me reach out to you, was about this book, knowing a few people that had who had been depressed and not knowing, and I lost a friend maybe a year and a half ago, who, you know, you just think about how much is lost, not just the person, but the knowledge,
yeah.
the you know, the people that loved him. It's a loss for, you know, all of us.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just so glad to have, you know, found you again and saw that you had a book that dealt with this topic, so that, you know, friends and people can, you know, go out and get a copy and, you know, just really be able to identify depression and know some of the things that you've shared with us on the show tonight, definitely on the show tonight. And
also what I call the book, I'm sorry, I call the book a self-help guide. It's not very long, not very lengthy.
Okay,
I didn't want to make it drawn out. And it is an ebook. They can get it online as an ebook.
Okay. Good. Is there anything that you'd like to share? Well, before we even get to that part, because, of course, we're we're winding down on our time. But what I want to say is that even though that the subject and topic that we're talking about is so serious, I definitely want you to come back on the show at a later date and just, you know, let the people know a little bit about the positive things that you're doing in the community, as well as, you know, talk a little bit more about, you know, your business and how it has helped a lot of people. But, you know, on the topic that we're on right now, is there anything that you'd like to, you know, express to our listeners that you may have left out, or, you know, that's something that's important for us?
Well, yeah, just a bit of depression information from psychologyinfo.com. It says,
okay,
each year 17 million American adults experience a period of clinical depression. That's each year 17 million American adults experience a period of clinical depression, and that's from psychologyinfo.com. And from blackdoctor.org, it says that people who get at least 30 minutes of exercise a day are less likely to be depressed. I didn't notice that too. So whenever I'm feeling, you know, kind of down and out, I try to make sure that I get the exercise in so that I can feel better. But I also want to give the hotline for people who may feel that they're in crisis and they may want to give a call. And it's a national suicide and crisis hotline. It's 1-800-784-2433. And that's 1-800-784-2433. Another one is the National Suicide Prevention Helpline, and that is 1-800-273-8255, 1-800-273-8255.
All right. We really do appreciate you coming on the show. Is there anybody that you would like to thank?
Well, I want to thank you, Ken Blake, for allowing me to come on your show to talk about this subject that most people don't want to talk about because it seems so depressing. But when, if they look around within 10 people that they know, probably at least half of those people are probably depressed. And some might be clinically depressed, or some might just have something just going through right now and just don't know how to get through with it. So I just want to thank you for allowing me to be able to come on your show and talk about the subject of depression.
And one more time, your book title and the acronym THIEF.
It is called Depression is a Thief. It steals your time, health, intimacy, energy, and fun.
Well, thinkbigradio.com listeners, you know, we like to always talk about different businesses and you know, how to get to the next level. But one of the things that Veronica was able to come on here and share with us that, you know, I'd like for you all to have taken from this as well is that you may still be able to function in depression, but there are certain things that you're going to have to get over to be able to be, you know, your best you. And so that's why, you know, even as she, as being an educator, she definitely understands that you have to consult, you know, listen to someone like her who's a consultant, who's been through it, who wrote a manual, a book, a guideline to assist you through it. So share this interview with your friends. If you know places that depressed people gather to maybe talk, they need to hear what she has to say. And not only that, purchase her book. Normally, I'm not this long at the end of our show. I just wanted to get that out. I'm going to let actually Veronica end our show tonight, and then I'm going to go out with the intro. So, Veronica, any last words that you want to share, go right ahead and just say, hey, it's a done deal, and then I'll just put our outro on.
Okay, I would just like to say at the end of each chapter, I have 10 tips, which are called correction with direction, so that you will know how to handle the issues of your time, health, intimacy, energy, and fun. again, that's why I call it a self-help guide more so than a book, because I'm not a clinical psychologist. I'm not trying to diagnose anyone or suggest how they should get help. But I think that they should make sure that they do get help. And if you know someone who needs help, to make sure they refer to those phone numbers I gave earlier in the show so that they can get the help that they need. And I'm just thankful by the grace of God that I am still here, because I'm able to tell my story and hopefully help someone else.
Well, we thank you for that, Veronica Blakely. For all our ThinkBigRadio.com listeners, Big here, your host tonight. You guys have a big night and a big day.
Your goals are our goals, and your success makes us successful. You're listening to ThinkBigRadio.com, where big thinkers come to teach and learn. We'd like to thank you all for your continued support and spreading the word about ThinkBigRadio.com. Have you spread the word today?